Turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Begin with verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of the word. We ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them, and we thank you for it. Amen. The embers of Reformation in the church had been burning for many years before the flame exploded in 1517. We've had many brothers prior to that point who were martyred for declaring the truth of God's word rather than continue in the error of Rome. Their foundation and ours was God's word alone. No church tradition or teaching of a pope could supersede this living word of God. God's word was clear that there is no other mediator between God and men but Christ alone. We might seek the aid of a saint, but it's simply not acceptable, nor is it possible to receive any kind of help from one who has died. Our salvation does not come as a payment for anything that we've done. We might do a lot of good works, but we don't receive salvation for that. That is given to us by God's grace alone. Luther was adamant that sola fide, the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone, is the article by which the church stands or falls. We are justified by faith. Why do I need to be justified? I think if we took the opportunity, went out and did a man on the street interview, we could probably get a large portion of people that we spoke to that would give a positive response about themselves. And say, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I do okay. You know, I don't kill anybody. I don't steal anything. I'm a pretty good Joe. I'm all right. You can always find an exception. You can always find somebody who will say they're kind of down on themselves. But you know the reality, the real truth in somebody who does that is they still love themselves. Their focus is still an inward thing. They're not promoting themselves as some kind of a great thing, but they're still focused on how bad they are, how bad they've got it, kind of a thing. There's always an exception. Outside of the church, it would be a rare thing that a person would recognize themselves as a sinner. We have an inherited nature that is diametrically opposed to a holy God. Our nature wants absolutely nothing to do with him. Secondly, if we ask about the surety of a judgment at the end of our life, we're going to shrug that off. Nah, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go to the pearly gates one day. I'm going to stand there. St. Peter's going to let me in. I'll probably be okay. Because after all, God is love. I'm no worse than anybody else. It'll be okay. God will have to take into consideration all the good things that I've done. We said last week how good our righteousness is. They'll either shrug that judgment off, play it lightly, or deny it outright. There's no judgment. When I quit breathing, it's all said and done. I'm going to go be worm food. That's the end of it. God's word is clear. Again, from Hebrews 9. God has appointed unto each of us a life and an appointment with death. And after that death, the surety of a judgment. We will stand, as it were, naked before Almighty God. Nothing is hidden from Him. The one who knows us so completely will hide nothing from Him. And if we dare to think that we can approach that judgment in our own righteousness, we're without hope. We will not approach an almighty, a holy God in our filthy rags. It will not be done. Jesus, in John's gospel in the third chapter, as he goes through that passage where most people are very familiar with the 16th verse, he says that, you know what? I haven't come to condemn the world. Because the world's already condemned. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're condemned. You're hopeless. Judgment will not bode well for you. What becomes plain to us is the reality that when we stand one day before that judicial bar, we need help. We can't do it alone. We can't stand there on our own. We need help. In our judicial system, an individual can be acquitted of a crime. If you have a competent defense attorney, he may be able to present a compelling case to a jury, and they could return a verdict of not guilty. A not guilty verdict is not the same as a declaration of innocence. Not guilty does not mean you're innocent. 20 years ago, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, but there was a great national trial. Fellow out in Los Angeles was arrested and charged with the murder of his ex-wife and another fellow. And he had some of the best legal minds money could buy to defend him. And if you it had American people riveted to their televisions. They were watching day in and day out as this trial opened and unraveled. And it was obvious to almost anybody watching this trial that the evidence went against the defendant. It was clear to most people that this man was guilty of a crime. And yet, it was handed to a jury, and the jury came back with a verdict of not guilty. They did not say he was innocent. They said he was not guilty of that crime. And in our legal system, we have to accept that and we say, fine. Although we may feel differently, the jury has made their verdict and the court has ruled. We have to say it's okay and let him go. To be innocent means to be free from moral wrong. It means to be without sin. Who do you know who is innocent? I'll say, well, we can walk into the nursery of any hospital and we can find all those little innocent children. They're precious. You pick them up, you hold them, you squeeze them. Oh, they're just, they throw up on you. You know, they're precious. Those little children are not innocent. Each one is born with a sin nature. None of us are innocent. No matter how good we think of ourselves, we are not innocent. But in the court of heaven, to be justified means to be declared righteous. It means to be declared innocent. But not for anything that we've done. Question 33 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is justification? The answer is justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of Jesus is imputed to us. That means it's placed to our account. God sees a sinless Jesus and not a wicked me. There is no possibility of a happy outcome at God's judgment seat apart from faith in Christ's work alone. We receive the blessing of Christ's work at that judgment seat. We are justified by faith in that work alone. Justification is an act of God's grace. It is an expression of deep love to his people. Justification is an instantaneous act. It's not a progressive work like sanctification. At the time that we are born again, at the time that regeneration takes place, we are declared righteous. We are declared just. We're declared innocent. The Holy Spirit does that, applies that to us. Upon the reception of saving faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us immediately and forever. That doesn't mean that in life you won't have difficulties. You won't have moral failures. That doesn't mean you won't have possibly times of backsliding, if we can use that language. We are children of God. We are a child of God by his grace. We're justified by his grace. And God doesn't make mistakes. That is an immediate and a forever justification. The sins, Charles Hodge said, the sins which are pardoned in justification include all sins, past, present, and future. The righteousness of Christ is a perpetual donation. I love that expression. We are justified in Christ. You're going to get tired of hearing me say it. But those sins are covered of what we've already confessed and of what we've yet to commit. They're covered. Doesn't mean we don't have to go to God in confession and repent of those sins when they happen. But it means the work of Christ is good enough to cover all of those things. This justification is by faith alone. Not, as Rome taught, faith plus works. Though as Christians we should be doing good works. Those works have no bearing on our salvation. They have no bearing on our justification. We certainly won't get anywhere depending on works alone. Christ's righteousness is the only ground. It's the only place of legal standing that we can make that claim. So it's faith in Him that makes it so. It's only by faith that we can lay hold of Christ. It's only by faith that His righteousness becomes ours. J.I. Packer commented that faith is a conscious acknowledgement of our own unrighteousness and ungodliness. And on that basis, a looking to Christ as our righteousness. Faith is rest. I don't question whether or not this chair is going to hold me. It's a chair. It's sitting here. Had I doubted for one second that it wouldn't hold me, I wouldn't have sat here. We easily have faith in our daily lives that things will be so. Regardless of what kind of a car we drive, we have a general faith that when we put the key in the ignition and turn it, it will start. Not always the case, but we believe it will. We have faith that it will. We have faith that we will, at some point during our day, take in some kind of nourishment. Whether that nourishment is some healthy concoction or some Reese cups. But we have faith that that's going to happen. Most of us don't go to sleep at night worrying, what are we going to eat tomorrow? Now, there are people that do. Faith in the finished work of Christ should be that easy for us to come to grips with. The understanding that although God is a holy God and that we rightfully ought to tremble before Him, that we are justified by the work of His Son, that faith should just be there. We should rest in that. We shouldn't be worrying day to day, oh man, you know, I really screwed up today. Oh, there goes my justification. You know, I sinned 70 times 7 today. 71 times 7. I'm over the limit. Those things should not be there. Believe me, the Holy Spirit is quick to convict us of our sin. And quick to say, hey, you need to repent about that. You need to confess that to God and get it taken care of. But we need not be, as Luther did so often, you know, constantly worrying that this terrible God was going to just punish me because I can't be righteous. He said, where will I find a gracious God? Our faith tells us that God is gracious to us through the finished work of Jesus, and not because of ourselves. Our faith is in Christ. We should be driven to Christ. Justification by faith alone is a gospel mystery, a revealed secret of God, which is a wonder of grace, transcending human wisdom and indeed contradicting it. Packer wrote that too. It does contradict human wisdom, because we don't, in our humanity, if we give it any thought at all, we might say, I don't see how I can be justified. I don't see how my sins can be forgiven. I don't see how it can be made right. You can hear people talking in the world and mocking this Christian faith because people believe they can be forgiven, that they can be justified. They say, oh no, you know, you're a sinner and you carry that with you your whole life. Whatever you did, that's staying with you. You're committed to it. But that's not what God's Word says. And that's where we go back. That's what counts. It's what God's Word has to say. And He says, we're justified by faith in the finished work of Christ alone. Sola fide. Let's pray.